exactly 5 years ago from the time you're hearing this story, the first fiscal budgetary bank was robbed. The thief entered the bank just as it was closing, and very few customers were present. He snuck past the security guard and avoided detection by the tellers as they were busy closing out their drawers for the evening and into the vault before it was closed and while the bank manager's back was turned. In short order, he filled a sack with over $1 million and was outside of both the vault and the bank before the alarm even sounded. Police arrived quickly and saw that the thief was driving away from the scene of the crime. And so a high-speed chase began. A chase that lasted several hours. The thief drove all through town, maneuvering in and out of traffic and making several daring moves in an almost taunting way. Finally stopping at a side street, the thief exited the car and, with a sack full of money in his hand, ran off through backyards and down alleyways. But still, the police remained hot on the trail. Finally, the thief had come to the waterfront where the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival was encamped on the boardwalk. Being now past midnight, the carnival was closed for the evening and the grounds were silent. Still, the police continued to chase after the thief. They saw their culprit enter the carnival's funhouse and follow. The chase led through the darkened ride. They heard a noise like something falling over. As they approached, they saw a young man lying on the ground. Helping him up, he merely pointed to the back door of the ride, where they could see the thief running out the door and off into the moonlight down the pier. But oddly enough, he was no longer carrying the sack of money he had stolen from the bank. Continuing their pursuit, they finally cornered their target, who stood motionless at the end of the pier. As they drew closer, the thief hesitated for a moment and then leapt into the water. They approached the site of where the jump was made, but the thief was completely gone from sight. A thorough search of the grounds proved fruitless, as the thief was never found and the money never recovered. Police Lieutenant Falk was involved in the case that night and dedicated himself to seeing justice served.
I'll catch that thief. I'll recover that stolen money. Oh, and one more thing. I'll see that justice is done.
And now we jump ahead to the present time as it's time to present... Nick Eye, Private Eye.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Dr. DeSoto. For some time now, it has been my privilege to be the companion of and assistant to Nick Guy, Private Eye. I have undertaken the task of chronicling some of his more interesting and important cases, and the one I'm about to relate certainly fills both requirements. Our story began one morning as I was telling Nick Guy about my experience of teaching a class on the work of a private investigator and a Christian apologist at Hammond Eggs University.
So how do you think your lectures were received?
Well, all in all, I thought it went quite well. But there was one thing that I found interesting and even a bit disturbing. There are a significant percentage of students who would classify themselves as naturalists.
You mean they believe that everything in the universe can be explained by purely natural means?
Oh, that's right. They deny the necessity, and therefore even the existence, of a supernatural creator. Yet, they still desire to hold on to some form of Christianity.
Oh, that is odd. Can it be successfully done?
They believe so, yes. But unfortunately, if they deny the supernatural, they obviously must deny Jesus' resurrection from the dead.
But when you deny the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, you eliminate the whole concept of redemption. You deny the messianic purpose for which Jesus came to earth.
Well, that's right. Christianity is uncompromisingly supernatural. At the heart of the worldview found in both the Old and New Testaments is that all of nature was created by a God who transcends that nature. God is above and beyond the universe he created. God himself is supra, or above and beyond nature. Christianity, stripped of its supernatural elements, is nothing more than a moral code. But it's a moral code with no objective truth to support it.
Even the claims of Jesus, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, are without any authority and are dangerous in that they promise something that has no basis to give anyone confidence in them.
Just then, the phone rang.
Hello? Yes, of course I remember you. What's that? Is that so? Well, we'll be right down.
Who was it, Guy?
Well, that was Gizmo Penpalmer.
Gizmo Penpalmer? It's been some time since we've seen him.
Well, he's working now as the manager of the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival. They travel throughout the country, and every year at this time they come here. Well, they're down at the boardwalk right now, but apparently there's something going on there that has him concerned, and he wants to talk to us about it. Come on, DeSoto, it looks like we've got a case.
When we arrived at the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival, the whole place was alive with activity. There were numerous games and sideshows, a vast array of different rides, a Ferris wheel, a merry-go-round, a roller coaster, and bumper cars. As soon as we walked through the front gate, we were approached by a young woman with a camera.
Hi there, I'm Theodora, and welcome to the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival. Stop in and see me at the photo booth before you leave the park today, gentlemen, to redeem your personalized photograph. There's no better way to commemorate your fun-filled and memory-laden visit to the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival than with a personalized photograph. Here's your ticket to redeem your picture.
Oh, well, we're not actually here for fun or memories. We're here to see Gizmo Penpalmer.
Mr. Penpalmer? No, I think he's in his office.
Well, can you tell us where that is?
Oh, I can do you better than that. I can show you a picture of it. A picture's worth 1,000 words, you know.
Oh, well, this is a picture of his office, but it doesn't give us any idea as to where it is.
Oh, it's down past the midway, through the food court, and just before the safari ride adventure. Get a good look at this picture so you'll know it when you see it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, excuse me. Hello, sir. Sir, my, what a lovely family you have. There's no better way to commemorate your fun-filled and memory-laden visit to the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival with your family than a personalized photograph. Stop in and see me at the photo booth before you leave the park today, sir, and redeem your personalized photograph.
Well, thank you. I believe we will.
Oh, and hello, sir. My, what a lovely tool belt you have. Allow me to take your picture.
Oh, well, I'm just a plumber. I'm here to fix the drains in the Monkey Island exhibit.
You know, there's no better way to commemorate your fun-filled and memory-laden service call to the Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival than with a personalized photograph.
Well, that's very nice, but I'd rather you just tell me where the Monkey Island exhibit is.
We did indeed find Gizmo Penpalmer's office. It was a trailer parked behind the funhouse. Gizmo Penpalmer was quite relieved to see us.
Oh, Nick Guy, Dr. DeSoto, am I ever glad to see the two of you?
And it's good to see you as well.
So how was it that you came to be the manager of a carnival?
Well, as you know, I've always had a penchant for the entertainment business.
Well, you were the program director of that radio station at one time.
And plus, all those years, I was the head usher of the Esquire Movie Emporium in Mutton Chops, Nebraska.
So, what's going on here? You seem pretty desperate on the phone.
Oh, desperate is the right word for it. In fact, I'm desperately desperate. Well, I'm sure you remember what happened here 5 years ago. You know, when the bank was robbed?
The first fiscal budgetary bank. There was over $1 million stolen that night.
And the police chased the thief right into the carnival. The police cornered him at the end of the pier. But just as they were about to close in, he jumped into the water and got away.
And he didn't have the money he had stolen with him at the time.
But they were never able to recover the money. Wherever the thief hid it, it was never found.
Well, I believe that that thief has come back, and he's looking for the money.
What makes you say that?
Well, I've spotted a mysterious person stalking through the carnival. My staff has reported seeing him everywhere.
Well, can you describe him?
But no one's ever seen his face, and he's of average height and average weight.
Why don't you call the police?
I did. In fact, I called Lieutenant Falk, who was in charge of the original investigation, but I haven't heard anything.
Well, I suppose we could take a look around.
Oh, please, do, Nick Guy. I fear for my staff. If this thief is desperate enough, he might do something desperate on one of them. Look, I'm breaking out in hives just thinking about it.
Well, perhaps you can start by taking us around and showing us the layout of your carnival.
We walked out of Gizmo Penpalmer's office trailer and right into the midst of a bevy of activity. The Spurious Brothers Funfair Carnival offered a wide range of amusements and entertainments and spanned the entire range of the boardwalk.
We must have over 100 employees here, or carnies, as they're called in the business.
That's what they're called by people not in the business as well.
Well, you say, that's interesting. Oh, that girl over there, the one taking pictures, that's Theodora Struthers.
Yes, we met her when we entered the carnival.
Oh, sir, here's that picture I took of you when you and your family came into the carnival. Would you like a copy of it to take home as a souvenir?
Well, yes, I believe we would. Wait a second, this picture is terrible. We're all out of focus, and you can only see the tops of our heads. Well, it's a beautiful picture of the Ferris wheel behind us, but it's an awful...
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, Mr. Penpalmer, smile, sir!
Oh, how nice. Theodora has been with us for four tours. Tours, that means years. But anyway, Theodora keeps track of every photograph she takes. Look, do you see inside of her booth here?
Well, there are pictures everywhere.
I'm very passionate about my job.
Well, let's move on. There's someone in particular I would like for you to meet.
Gizmo Penpalmer led us down the midway and introduced us to the young man operating the merry-go-round. His name was Kermit Gillis, and he had been with the carnival for 6 years.
We call them tours in the business.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you. I've been reading about that art theft that took place the other night, and since you men are private eyes, I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Oh, yes. It was a valuable Giuseppe Bittura.
Yes, it was his Donna Conchipola.
What's that in English?
Oh, woman with onion.
Are you an art lover?
Oh, no. I mean, not really. I was just, making conversation, seeing how you're in that line of work.
What proved to be most interesting about Kermit Gillis was that he was the person who was doing repairs in the funhouse on the night when the bank robber rushed in his attempt to elude the police.
Well, I was working on Laughing Loretta, the mechanical laughing woman, when I heard someone come in. He rushed over to where I was, and I must have surprised him. He slapped me with the back of his hand and pushed me over, and I fell backwards. He stood over me for only a moment and then rushed out the back. The next thing I knew, I was being helped to my feet by a police officer.
While the thief was standing over you. That must have been when he hid the sack of money.
But a thorough search of the funhouse, in fact, the whole park, was conducted at the time, but nothing was found.
What's that?
Those are the tumbling cadendos.
The tumbling cadendos?
Oh, they're a team of acrobats. They've been with the carnival for at least 10 years. Tours.
Well, then they were here at the time of the bank robbery, too. Maybe we should talk with them.
Oh, but I'm afraid that won't do any good, Nick Guy. But you see, they don't speak a word of English.
Oh, they don't?
No, but I can't understand a word they say. And they can't understand a word but I say.
But isn't that a problem? I mean, how can they work for you when you can't communicate with them?
We manage it somehow.
Hey, back off! Give me a little room here!
Say, what's that?
Oh, that's Peepo the Clown. He's another one of my people I'd like for you to meet. Oh, come on.
Gizmo Penpalmer led us down the midway to where a clown was entertaining children. Sort of.
Hey, look, it's a clown!
Yeah, that's right, it's me, Peepo the Clown.
Can you do something to make us laugh?
Make you laugh?
Do you have a flower that squirts water?
Yeah, that'll make us laugh.
Nah, I haven't used that old gag in years.
What about a horn?
A horn? Does it look like I have a horn?
Come on, Jenna, let's go on a ride or something.
All right, Mitch, he's not much of a clown.
Not much of a clown? Why, I
oughta. Peepo, the clown, I'd like you to meet Nick Guy and Dr. DeSoto.
Well, what do you know? Okay, well, I have some friends I'd like for you to meet. My agent and my lawyer. How would you like that?
But you seem upset.
Upset? I should say I'm upset. I'm a great talent. I'm a star, a top-tier entertainer. And look at the conditions I have to work in. I'm not paid anywhere near what I'm worth, and I have to live in a cramped, rusty old trailer. I'm not given the main stage or the prime time. But what do I care? It won't be long now.
Well, perhaps we can discuss all of this a bit later. Right now, I have to finish showing my friends around. And besides, you have a show to do. And as we say in the business, your public waits.
Oh, yeah? Well, let them wait.
Hey, look, it's Peepo, the carnival clown.
beat it.
Huh?
Yeah, you heard me. Scram!
Hey, Peepo, make us laugh.
Make you laugh? Sure. It's what I live for.
Gizmo Penpalmer led us across the midway. While on our way, we heard what sounded like a cannon being fired.
What was that?
Oh, that's Buzz Crash Cart, the human cannonball. The cannon crew is still having trouble with their aim.
We continued on our way to a trailer that set off of the midway. We knocked on the door.
Enter! Enter!
We entered to see a man dressed in a dark suit with a long cape. His appearance was meticulous. He sat in front of a vanity, combing his goatee. Behind him stood a young woman dressed in a dazzling sequined one-piece suit.
Bartoli, I would like for you to meet...
Beg your pardon?
What?
Angelica, would you kindly offer the terms upon which I am to be properly addressed?
He's not merely known as Bartoli. He's Bartoli the Magnificent.
Oh, yes, of course. Bartoli the Magnificent. I would like for you to meet Nick Guy and Dr. DeSoto.
I see.
We're pleased to meet you, Bartoli the Magnificent.
So, you're a magician.
A magician? A magician? Why, I'm much more than a mere magician, sir.
Bartoli the Magnificent is a master illusionist, a sleight-of-hand marvel. He's performed his thrilling and breathtaking feats of misdirection and fantasy before kings and queens, presidents and dictators, ladies and lords. His performances are nothing short of multimedia extravaganzas that leave his audiences trembling.
And who are you, young lady?
Oh, me? Oh, thanks for asking. My name is Angelica. Mr. Bartoli the Magnificent refers to me as the lovely Angelica in the act. Isn't that thoughtful of him?
And now that you have experienced the thrill of meeting me, you will please be kind enough to leave me alone. The lovely Angelica and I must prepare for my next performance.
Oh, look, Mr. Bartoli the Magnificent, I found my earring. Oh, remember when I lost it? I was so sad. Oh, well, I found it. It's like a miracle.
A miracle? There you go again with that supernatural nonsense. Why must I have to remind you that there are no miracles?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, of course. But every time you tell me you use such big words and big ideas, I get all confused and I just can't remember.
Well, just remember this. There are no miracles because a belief in miracles requires a belief in the supernatural. And there is no supernatural.
Should I be writing this down?
Why, the whole of science is disrupted with belief in supernatural mumbo-jumbo.
It is?
Science is founded upon the regularity of sequences. If certain conditions within nature are given, then certain other conditions will logically follow. An intrusion of events which are independent of the natural given conditions destroys the regularity and dependability of nature. Science then becomes useless.
But if I may interrupt, I fear you're mistaken as to the purpose and place of science.
Indeed!
Science is the study of the natural physical world through observation and experimentation. It can only answer questions concerning that natural physical world. It is inadequate to speak to metaphysical abstract concepts, nor is that its purpose. The existence of the supernatural does not necessitate the upsetting nor the destroying of the natural order.
Oh, don't tell me you share this single-minded girl's delusions of miraculous events.
Well, I don't know that I share them in exactly the same way, but I do believe that miracles are possible and that they have and do occur. Both the natural and the supernatural are fundamental to the Christian worldview.
Ah, yes, the Christian worldview.
God created the natural order, and things within that order operate within the confines he has laid out. It is this reality that allows us to pursue the sciences with any confidence in the truth of our discoveries.
Well, precisely. For example, last year, Buzz Crashcart, the human cannonball, landed on his side and broke his arm. He didn't require a miracle to heal it. He required a doctor to put a cast on it and allow the bone to mend itself. And all of this occurred quite naturally.
But this brings up the issue of God working through immediate and immediate causes.
Immediate? You mean it happens right away? Because it took Buzz 6 weeks for his broken arm to heal. He couldn't even scratch himself.
Oh, no. When we refer to immediate cause, we mean that God uses another source to do his work.
For example, in the case of Buzz Crashcart's broken arm, God mediated the healing through the doctor, the cast, and the healing that occurs naturally through time.
But had God intervened directly in the healing of the broken bone by performing a miracle and healing apart from these means, we would say that God's cause was immediate.
But you are still introducing an arbitrary element into the natural order, which disrupts everything.
Well, there is nothing arbitrary about miracles, at least according to the Christian worldview. They are not uncaused events. They are the immediate intervention of God into the world.
Wow. Do I believe all of that?
You would do best to believe whatever I tell you to believe, my dear. And right now, I believe I have a show to perform. I have an audience to thrill and amaze.
And to leave trembling.
Come, my dear, follow in my wake and witness me being...
Oh, magnificent?
Exactly. My audience awaits.
Bardoli the Magnificent, followed dutifully by the lovely Angelica, left the trailer and entered into the main tent, where he was greeted with a thunderous applause.
And so now we have met all of the key players in this drama. Well, not counting the mysterious stalker, of course. Unless that is, the mysterious stalker is indeed one of the key players we've already met. In which case, we have met all of the key players in this drama. Well, you'll want to be with us next time when we hear Nick Guy say...
I think I've met more than enough key players already.
So be sure to join us again next time for another exciting installment of Nick Guy. Private Eye. Ward Stang speaking.
Nick Guy and the Day at the Carnival Affair was written and produced by Frank Uhle with Rebecca Bradford and features the vocal talents of Rebecca Bradford, Glenn Haskell, and Frank Uhle. A common misconception is that science and religion stand in opposition to one another, but this just isn't the case. Science, rightly understood, is the experimental and observational study of the structure and behavior of the natural world. It cannot address metaphysical or supernatural issues. Science and religion are not opposed to, but rather complementary of, each other. Well, to find out more about this topic or the Nick Guy Private Eye Apologetic Series, visit our website at nickguy.net. That's nickguy.net. And discover that sometimes the most amazing things must be true.